Would you turn tonight to the book of Deuteronomy, 18th chapter? I want to preach a message concerning the thoughts expressed in this chapter number 18. But in preparation for that, let's read a few verses leading up to this in the 5th chapter of Deuteronomy. Why did the Lord give Moses this instruction in chapter 18? Well, we find that if you read Deuteronomy, and I hope you do from time to time, it's a good book. It's described in verse 1 of chapter 1, "These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan, in the wilderness and the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel, Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab." These are the last words of Moses. We know it's recorded in the book of Deuteronomy that the Lord took him and he buried him. No one knows where he was buried. But these are his last words. And we see in chapter number 5, in verse number 5, kind of a setting to what we're going to read in chapter 18. Deuteronomy 5, and in verse number 5, "I stood between the Lord and you at that time." Now he's talking about Mount Sinai. "I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord. For ye were afraid by reason of the fire." Mount Sinai was a flame, lightning, thunder. Very frightening situation for the children of Israel. "To show you the word of the Lord." And verse 6, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Now this is simply a rehearsal of what we find in Exodus chapter 20, where the Ten Commandments were given. He's rehearsing this to him. Verse 8, "Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth." Chapter 5, verse 9, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." And we're not going to read all this, but you can read through verse number 21. And it's simply a stating again of the time when they received the Ten Commandments from the Lord at Mount Sinai on their wilderness journeys. He gives all 10 of what we can consider and call the 10 commandments in that reading. But I want you to look in verse 23 of chapter 5. "And it came to pass when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that you came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, Behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness. And we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of fire as we have, and lived? They are scared out of their senses, because God is talking directly to them. They hear his voice. They go on to say, verse 27, "Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it." They sent Moses as an intercessor to listen to what God had to say. They didn't want to hear it because it was too much for them. "If you'll listen, Moses, and you'll come and tell us what God says, then we'll hear it and we'll do it." So that's the promise that they made. Verse 28, "And the Lord heard the voice of your words, when you spake unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I've heard the voice of the words of the people which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. God accepted what they said, and God said it's well that they've asked you to come and listen to me in their stead and take back to them all that I'm going to say to them. Now, that being read, let's turn to the 18th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy and the 15th verse. Here's the response to their request. When God says through Moses, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. Now, sometimes we read the word of God and we don't really think about what we're reading. God says, I'm going to raise up unto thee, Israel, a prophet from the midst of thee. He's going to be an Israelite of thy brethren, like unto me. He's going to be like me. Speaking of Christ, he's not only like God, he is God. But in telling them this message, God words it in that way. Unto him ye shall hearken. Verse 16. According to all that thou desirest to the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they've spoken. Verse 18, I will raise them up a prophet from among them, from among their brethren, like unto thee, Moses. He's going to be like you, and he's going to be like me. And will put my words in his mouth. He shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. But look at this next verse. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Now, you may think that's insignificant and doesn't mean much. But beloved, as we carry this message into the New Testament, you see how important it is that we understand what God is saying here. God accepted Israel's request that he not speak to them anymore. God understood that they were terrified to hear his voice and to see the fire and the lightning and the smoke. And he made a concession to them. In the days of Moses, he spoke through Moses. Moses told the children of Israel what they should do. Deuteronomy is full of that. Numbers is full of that. But he also made a promise of a coming prophet, which is none other than Christ. And he says in verse 19, it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. And that's a very serious thing that God has stated to everyone here tonight. We live in a world that thinks they can disallow, discount the words of God as found in the scriptures, as preached from the pulpits, as moved by the Holy Spirit on the heart of people. But God says, I'm going to require it of them. Now, I want you to take these thoughts into the New Testament and notice how this works out. 1,500 years after God spoke through Moses and gave this promise and this warning, 1,500 years, more or less, passed by. And then we find John the Baptist's voice crying in the wilderness. What's he crying? Well, he's crying that there's one coming after me whose shoes latch it. I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. Matthew 17, verses 15 through 19, we see the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration with the three apostles that he kept so close to him, Peter, James, and John, in Matthew 17. And let's read a few verses beginning in the 15th verse of Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verse 15. I think I've got that right. I hope I have. Yes. Now I got to go back up some. I don't have the right verse. I got the right chapter. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth him up into a high mountain apart. He was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Now, how did Israel accept Christ? What was their response to his preaching? Well, they rejected it outright. As a nation, they didn't want to hear what Christ had to say. But here are the three men that the Lord Jesus was the closest to. There's no doubt about that. And here they are on a mountain. The Bible says in verse 5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud, not a voice out of Mount Sinai. There was no thunder. There was no smoke. There was no fire. But there's a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Now they asked that God not speak to them anymore, that they not have to stand at the foot of Mount Sinai and listen to those sounds and hear the voice of God and the thundering. It frightened them. They thought they were going to die. So God sent his Son, his only Son, into the world. And he speaks to these three men in their presence. And God speaks out of that cloud. And he says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. What's he saying? This is that prophet. And that's the title of our message tonight. That prophet. This is that prophet that God promised. This is a fulfillment of the request by Israel that God not speak to them anymore out of Mount Sinai. And God, as he promised in Deuteronomy chapter 18, has sent them one like unto him, one like unto Moses. And he's speaking the words that God would have them to hear. And remember what God said, whoever will not hear it, I will require it of him. Now we know that Peter, James, and John accepted God's word. They were so thrilled with it, they wanted to put up some tabernacles there and stay there. But Jesus said, no, we're going to go back down. Look back in Matthew chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Earlier in the life of Christ, when he began his ministry, in the fourth chapter, verse 16 and 17. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach. He began to talk. He began to speak. What was he speaking? And to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look back in chapter 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Is there any doubt? There shouldn't be, but there was. There still is. Do you hear me? There still is. People still will not accept that prophet that God sent. This world is full of doubters, full of confusion, full of rejectors. There may be some here tonight that are not saved. You've rejected the voice of the Lord God through the one that he promised. He's not speaking from Mount Sinai. You don't see any fire. You don't hear any thunder. But you hear the voice of one who simply says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He is that prophet. He just spoken the words of God. And God requires it of you. And if you do not respond to it, God will require it even further, as we preached this morning at the great white throne judgment. Further in John chapter number 1, verse 21, John's gospel. First chapter of John, 21st verse. This is the inquiry of John the Baptist. The Jews ask him, they ask him, what then, art thou Elias? And he saith, I'm not. Art thou that prophet? Are you that prophet? Deuteronomy 18, the one with God, are you the one? And he answered, no, I'm not that prophet. Then say unto them, who art thou, that we may give answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. John said, I'm not that prophet. But the same John the Baptist in chapter number 3 of John's gospel says this in the latter part of this chapter. Verse 29. John the Baptist, this is his message. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. John, in a sense, is saying, I'm the best man. I'm the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him. This, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. John says he came from above. He that is of the earth is earthy. Speaketh of the earth, he that cometh from above is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. Remember what God said. I'm going to raise up a prophet. He's going to give you my word. And I expect you to accept it. And if you don't, I'm going to require it of you. Read further, verse 32. What he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. Now, verse 33, he that hath received his testimony, some did, we know that. Peter, James, and John, the apostles, except, of course, Judas, hath said to his seal that God is true. For whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. It couldn't be any plainer. John said, I'm not that prophet. But I've already pointed you earlier in John's gospel. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Here he is. Here's that prophet. But notice as he goes on. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son. And hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son. Now notice this, please. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's already on him. To disbelieve the words of that prophet, which is no doubt the Lord Jesus Christ, to refuse to receive the words of that prophet, repent and believe the gospel, among the many things that he said, but that was the beginning of his ministry, to refuse that is to be against God. And God will require it of you. But let's go on. John 4, verse 19. Jesus has been talking with this woman at the well. They've had an interesting conversation. But notice the conclusion that she comes to in verse 19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Not that prophet, but she said, I know you're a prophet. But this isn't the end of it. Because as you look further in this chapter, you see that this same woman says to the men of the city in verse 29, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is not this that prophet? Is not the one that God said he would send? Isn't this not he? She heard his word. She took the message back to the men, and they came out, and many were saved. She received the words of that prophet that the Jews wouldn't accept. But she accepted it. John 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me. Isn't that what it's all about? To receive the words of God through this prophet that God had promised is just to simply believe on him. Believe he is the fulfillment of what God said many, many years, 1,500 years more ago, he said this, and he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. They begin to understand, the light begin to come through to, this is that prophet that God promised us. Others said, this is the Christ, but some say, shall Christ come out of Galilee? You see, there's always those that doubt. Look further, if you would. In verse 27 and 28 of John 9, this is a man who was blind, and Jesus gave him back his sight. They're questioning him, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I've told you already, you did not hear. Wherefore, would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Now notice their response. This is important. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. Are you really Moses' disciples? What did Moses tell you to do? When that prophet comes, you must receive him. And if you don't receive his words, which are the words of God, God will require it of you. They weren't Moses' prophets or Moses' followers at all. But notice as we look further. In verse 35, Jesus heard that they'd cast him out of the temple. They eventually cast him out of the temple because he would not deny Jesus Christ. When he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? How simple this is. Do you believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. You've seen him. I'm here. I'm talking to you. I'm telling you what God would have you to hear. What God promised back in Deuteronomy many hundreds of years ago. I'm here and I'm speaking. Verse 38 says, and he said, Lord, I believe. That's the difference between eternal life and eternal death. I believe. And he worshiped him. He not only said he believed, but his actions proved that he believed. He worshiped the Lord. Let's look further in John 17, verses 1 through 6, when Jesus offered his high priestly prayer. I'm amazed how much of the Old Testament is interwoven into the New Testament. John 17, 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, What a thought. All flesh. Nobody's ever been born that Jesus Christ does not have power over. As I said this morning, they're all going to give an account to him. Either at the judgment seat of Christ or at the great white throne judgment, every man will give an account of himself to the Lord. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. The Father must give them to the Son, and the Son will give them eternal life. It's very simple. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. God said, I'm going to send a prophet. I'm not going to speak anymore from Mount Sinai. I'm not going to speak in the fire and the thunder and the noise that frightens you so much. I'm going to send a prophet. And here he is. In preparation for his death, he prays this high priestly prayer. I've glorified thee on the earth. Verse 4, I've finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He came from God. He was with God and he came from God because he is God. Verse 6, I manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. That's important. What was the threat that God added to sending that prophet? Anyone that will not receive his words, I will require it of him. But Jesus says concerning these men, they've kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I've given unto them the words which thou gavest me. They've received them and have known surely that I came out from thee. They believe that thou didst send me. They believe the promise in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 through 19. Very simple. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Notice further in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The same word that the Father gave to the Son to bring to us is the same word he uses to set us apart. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Through the truth. I'll share this with the church because I think it's important. A lady asked me this morning, been visiting with us, and she said, I've got a request. You just tell me what your response is. She said, would it be possible for me to partake of the Lord's Supper with the church on Easter Sunday? Of course, we don't practice that on Easter. We practice on the last Sunday of the month. But I said, no, I'm sorry. She said, well, I read in your circular that you believe in only the members of the church partaking of that supper. I said, yes, that's been our stand. We still believe that. She said, well, I thought I would ask. And I told her courteously and kindly, we can't do that. It's not biblical. It might seem like, humanly speaking, a good thing to do, but it's against the scriptures. And we can't go against the scriptures to satisfy even our own feelings and matters. We have to follow the words of the Lord. She said, I understand that. She's a very respectful lady. I appreciate her comments. She loves the church. She loves your people talking to her, and she loves your receiving of her, and that's good. We should receive people to the extent we can, but we can't change our doctrine in order to compensate for something they would like to do. You see, beloved, we have the Word of God to direct us. And I believe the Bible teaches us that we practice closed communion. We don't open it up to anybody. We can't practice what the Bible teaches us to if we do that. We're violating so many things in the Scripture that God expects us to keep. We have no authority over people that are not members of this church. We can't discipline them. We can't deal with them in the way that God teaches us to if they happen to be out of the will of the Lord. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ brought to us the word from the Lord. Not in fire, not in noise, not in thunder that would frighten us to death, but in the voice that we spoke in the song that we rehearsed just before I started. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He is that prophet. He doesn't speak to us in this day and time. He said, I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He came to save sinners. But he's the same Savior that brought the Word of God to us. And we're responsible to receive that. I thought of the time in Luke chapter 24, when the men who were traveling with, after he was raised from the dead, they were traveling with him. And when Jesus left them, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? When he spoke the words of God to them and he comforted them with the word, did not our hearts burn within? Don't you feel that sometimes? Does not the word of God burn within you and your hearts burn because you know it's truth and you rejoice in it? Now turn to John 5, and I'll bring the message to a close with this particular portion of Scripture. The fifth chapter of John, this is very simple, and yet it's a fulfillment of what was promised by God many, many years before. Jesus is here speaking in verse 19 of the fifth chapter of John. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you. Now, who gave him the words to say? Who's he speaking for? He uses I, but we know who he is, do we not? He's the Son of God. He's God the Son. I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Perfect harmony. For the Father loveth the Son, showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. He's already done that three times during his earthly ministry. Verse 22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. What I preached this morning concerning, he's prepared his throne into judgment. Whether it be judging the nations as he has done, whether it be judging God's people as he will do, at the Bema, at the judgment seat of Christ, whether it be the great white throne judgment, which we find at the end of the book of Revelation, the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Verse 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. I will raise them up a prophet, like unto you, Moses, like unto me, God. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verse 24, this is a very simple verse, and yet it's so powerful. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. Now, what was the message that God gave to Moses to give to Israel? I'll raise them up a prophet, like unto thee, like unto me, and he'll speak my words And whosoever will not receive my words, I will require it of him. I'm paraphrasing that, but you have read that already. He that heareth my word, isn't it simple? And believeth on him that sent me, not just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe on the one who sent the Lord Jesus Christ, hath everlasting life. Present tense, immediate possession. With that faith, with that trust, with that belief, comes everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Do you understand that? From death? You hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sin? Unto life. You're alive in Christ now if you're saved. Very verily I say unto thee, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. You see, it doesn't end there. Not only did he come from God to bring the message of salvation, but he gives us assurance that the hour is coming when the dead, all dead, talking about the dead bodies, those who have been buried, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. So he gave judgment unto the Son. We read that earlier in this chapter. He gave life unto the Son. He gives the power to resurrect unto the Son. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Whosoever will not hear that prophet, I will require it of him. So we go forth with a message that we know is powerful. It was spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ in the person of the Father, speaking for the Father as promised by Moses years and years before. And it's still effective today. It'll be effective till the Lord comes. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, not just hear. You hear a lot of things you don't even hear. You ever notice that with your wife? She has selective hearing. She hears some things, she doesn't hear other things. I told him at lunch today, my wife can't hear me talking to her, but she hears me creeping down the hall. He said, what are you doing? I mean, hearing is a special gift that God gives us, but he's not just talking about the ear, he's talking about hearing. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath immediately. You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. It's an immediate transaction. It's passed from death and the life, and shall not come into condemnation. It's irreversible. Nothing you can ever do, nothing any man can ever do to change that transaction between you as a saint of God, you as a child of God, and our Heavenly Father, who sent the Lord Jesus Christ as that prophet to give us the message that we might be saved. Tim, you come and lead us in the hymn of invitation.